Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the Martello Technologies Group third quarter fiscal 2022 investor conference call. Today's call will provide information and commentary on financial results for the 3 months ended December 31st, 2021. We will hear from John Proctor, President and CEO of Martello, and Kim Butler, Martello's Interim Chief Financial Officer. Following these remarks, John and Kim will take questions from analysts. If you have any questions following the call, you can reach Martello at investor@martellotech.com. First, here are a couple of housekeeping notices. All participants are in listen-only mode for the duration of the call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity for analysts to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star, then 1 on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and 0. This call is being recorded, and we expect that the recording will be available on Martello's website today. We remind you that today's remarks will include forward-looking statements that are subject to important risks and uncertainties. For more information on these risks and uncertainties, please see the reader advisory at the bottom of Martello's news release, which is on their website and on SEDAR. The company's actual performance could differ materially from these statements. We'll begin with Martello CEO, John Proctor. John?
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I hope you and your families are all keeping well. I'm joined this morning by Kim Butler, our new interim CFO. Kim's predecessor, Erin Crowe, left the company at the end of January for a return to the world of professional sports. Erin's counsel and expertise will be missed, but we are pleased to work with someone experienced as Kim, so welcome, Kim. The last quarter continues a very busy period for Martello. Since I spoke to you last in November, we have seen a number of very important developments. On this call, I want to follow up on a number of these, including progress we are making with the Microsoft partnership, and I'll also provide some insight into our Vantage DX trial pipeline. About 18 months ago, we made a strategic decision to focus the company and move aggressively into digital experience monitoring. With that, we made our largest acquisition to date of GSX, a company that specialized in enterprise-grade digital experience monitoring for Microsoft. We believe that by combining this technology with some of our existing products and capabilities, we could build a comprehensive, single-platform SaaS solution for CIOs to monitor and manage the digital experience for employees using cloud business solutions from anywhere. And we thought it best to start with the biggest, Microsoft. We are there now. In September, we launched Vantage DX, one of the only solutions in the market that helps IT teams monitor and manage the Microsoft user experiences across geographies, at home, or in the office. It took several engineering cycles to deliver on the promise to launch the solution and see how the market responded. And the market has responded extremely well and confirmed what we believe, that there is absolutely a demand for this solution. We are beginning to commercialize Vantage DX, and we have almost doubled new sales pipeline generated sequentially over Q2. After only a few months, we had sold more than 70,000 users and had 500,000 users in trials. This is a mix of new customers, cross-sells, and replacements. But over half of the users in trial or under subscription today represent new customers to Martello. This gives us great confidence that the solution has very broad appeal. We are now focused on maximizing that appeal. We need more people selling our solution, and our growing alignment with Microsoft has brought new opportunities here. With the announcement earlier this month that Vantage DX is now on the Microsoft Azure Marketplace and sellers are now compensated for selling Vantage DX, we have a solid, brand new sales channel. This is a good start, and we plan on leveraging this further through joint selling and referrals. We are also working on expanding our telco and global systems integrator partner channels, which I believe will allow us to scale faster. And just 2 weeks ago, we advanced our partnership with Microsoft from global strategic alliance to global managed partner. This move is an acknowledgement from Microsoft that there is a need for Vantage DX in the market for customers and partners globally and provides dedicated resources to make Martello successful. It offers us closer alignment with Microsoft in product, sales, and marketing to bring value to customers and partners faster. Since Martello joined this program in early February, Microsoft has already made introductions to 6 global partners in the telco and systems integrator space, as well as 5 enterprise customer opportunities. This deepening level of engagement speaks to our specific alignment with Microsoft's strategic priorities. With respect to our sales process, our teams are working now to accelerate our trials to booking cycles. Our early trial cycles lasted slightly longer than we would like, and we are working on ways to meaningfully shorten this to convert trials to bookings and revenue quickly and decisively. We want to assure investors and analysts that we are laser-focused on exploiting the demand for Vantage DX to scale our revenue. We have an installed base of 2.84 million Microsoft users, and based on the demand that I explained earlier, we remain comfortable that we're on track to reach 3.5 million users over the next couple of quarters. Again, this timeline will be impacted by progress on accelerating our trials. I'll speak more about our outlook shortly after Kim provides a more detailed review of our financial performance in the third quarter. Over to you, Kim.
Thanks, John. I'm delighted to be here with you this morning for my first earnings conference call as Martello's interim CFO. I will now comment on Martello's financial performance for the third quarter of fiscal 2022, which ended December 31st, 2021. Revenue of $4.4 million were flat compared to Q2 fiscal 2022 and down 3.8% from Q3 fiscal 2021. There are a few factors contributing to the slight year-over-year decline. Growth in Microsoft 365 monitoring was offset by declines in legacy product revenue and revenue from the Mitel line of business. This was related to lower perpetual revenue and the impact of foreign currency conversion. Revenue quality continued to be strong. The recurring portion of total revenue was 97% in Q3 compared to 96% in the comparative period. In the third quarter, monthly recurring revenue, or MRR, was $1.45 million, a decrease of 3% compared to $1.49 million in the prior year. This slight decrease is due to a decline in royalties in the Mitel line of business, adverse currency movements, and a decrease in maintenance and support revenue. These factors were particularly offset by an increase in subscription license in Microsoft DEM. The portion of Martello's revenue driven by sales in Microsoft DEM continues to grow sequentially, reaching 48% of total revenue in Q3 compared to 47% in Q2. The remaining revenue streams are Mitel UC monitoring, which contributed 40% of revenue in Q3, flat sequentially, and the sunsetting of legacy products revenue stream, which contributed just 11% of revenue in Q3 compared to 13% in Q2. Gross margin was 90% in Q3 compared to 93% in the same period of the prior year. The decrease was primarily the result of lower gross margins on Microsoft 365 monitoring due to higher hosting costs and sales and distribution commissions. Operating expenses of $5.53 million were 1.4% above the $5.45 million reported in the same period of fiscal 2021. As we have noted before, in the prior year, the company implemented a strategic cost reduction initiative in view of COVID-19-related uncertainties, including delays in filling vacant positions and temporary reduction in compensation until partway through Q3 of fiscal 2021. Increase in spending in Q3 of this year related to increased R&D and sales investment, compensation costs associated with a return to full salary, market research, office equipment, and software, professional fees, as well as lower government incentives. These were partially offset by decrease in G&A costs related to optimization of support functions. Adjusted EBITDA, which is a non-IFRS measure, is a loss of $780,000 compared to a loss of $260,000 in the same period of the prior year. The decrease is due to higher operating losses associated with the return to normalized operation following COVID-19-related strategic cost reduction initiatives noted a moment ago. The Q3 net loss of $2.17 million has increased from $1.46 million in the same period of the prior year as a result of items noted and higher losses on foreign exchange, particularly offset by lower financing fees. The company's cash and short-term investment balance was $5.1 million at December 31, 2021, compared to $8.5 million at March 31, 2021. Net working capital was $2.3 million at December 31, 2021, compared to $4.5 million at March 31, 2021. Following the recent insider private placement, with aggregate gross proceeds totaling $2.4 million, which included $1.4 million in January 2022, the company believes it has sufficient cash to fund ongoing organic growth. Finally, I would like to comment on our user count. The number of Microsoft users on Martello's DEM platform decreased slightly to 2.84 million in Q3 from 2.9 million in Q2, reflecting a decrease in Microsoft 365 monitoring subscriptions. The company is focused on driving Microsoft user growth through sales of Vantage DX. This includes upgrading Microsoft 365 monitoring customers and converting trials to paid subscriptions. I'll now hand it back to John to close with his perspective on Martello's outlook. John?
Thanks, Kim. As I explained a few minutes ago, the launch of Vantage DX in September was as consequential as we hoped it would be. We've had some performance challenges over the last year with longer sales cycle related to the pandemic, but we are now extremely well positioned for growth and very focused on exploiting the demand by accelerating trial to booking cycle. The management team and the board remain very confident about the future for three key reasons. First, our increasing alignment with Microsoft and their increasing support to and interest in Martello. Second, the increasing number of large global partners engaged with us. And third, significant growth in our Vantage DX sales pipeline. These three indicators tell us that the market needs Vantage DX, and we are well positioned to execute on that growth. We put action behind this confidence by investing in the company. Insiders invested at approximately $2.4 million in the last 8 weeks, more than half at an 80% premium to the market price. We are all in on Martello. I am here to answer your questions. As said at the start, as Kim has only been in her role for 3 weeks, we prefer not to put her on the spot at this stage. If you have specific financial questions regarding assumptions or modeling, we will set up a subsequent meeting to address those questions. Operator, would you please facilitate the Q&A part of this call?
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Investors and analysts who wish to join the question queue may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. Once again, anyone on the conference call who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Our first question comes from Kristen Skro of Eight Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks, and good morning, John.
Good morning, Kristen.
Morning. The first question I wanted to ask today is about the Microsoft user count. It sounds like from your prepared remarks that the 3.5 million targets is still intact over the next couple quarters. Now, the first question I wanted to ask is if there's any color you'd add around the slight sequential decrease. Could the December quarter be one where there aren't renewals? Or is there anything else you'd add, maybe a one-off customer that canceled? Something to help us understand the slight sequential decrease as you target the 3.5 million goal.
Yeah, I mean, Christian, you're spot on. There was one large renewal. They were a Gizmo customer, so a GSX customer. What is interesting is they've moved into a Vantage trial. So we will make that. We are fully intending to make that back up. But they basically looked at Gizmo and said, yeah, we don't need as much of it as we thought we did. and we said, okay, fair enough. But this is our new product. And the line we got from them, this is a huge enterprise customer. The line we got from them was, oh, this is what we always wanted along the way. So they've moved into trial. It's one of the nice things for us as well was, our ability to trial this brand new product that went GA in December in an environment of that scale is fairly limited until we actually put it in an environment of that scale. And it has scaled. I'm extremely proud of the work the R&D guys did, but it's scaled to that scale of enterprise customer. So the decrease is to that one renewal where they went from slightly less seats on Gizmo than they had before, but they've now moved into a Vantage trial. And given our conversion rate so far of Vantage trials, which is over 70%, when we've got people into trials in the new product, we have a 70% success rate of closing that deal. I'm confident we can pull that number back.
That's great news. And that leads into my next question, John, on the conversion there. That greater than 70% is positive, you know, from the launch to date. So my question was going to be, you know, if you're confident that 70% could sort of continue, if that's what you're seeing from the 500,000 trials, and what you'd expect from a timeline there. I guess you're working actively to shorten that cycle, but do you think that could be over 1 quarter, 2 quarters, or is it more of a discussion with customers?
So, I mean, it's a new product. So there's always an education step at the front end. It's, you know, that's kind of the first hurdle to get through. But yeah, I mean, we see these numbers coming up. As I said, you know, we expect to be at 3.5 million in the next couple of quarters. And, you know, the exciting piece is Microsoft. You know, we are, as far as we know, the only DEM solution that Microsoft has pulled through into this partner program. We've got weekly cadence now with Microsoft themselves. And as I mentioned with this partner program, we now have, and literally as of last week, you know, dedicated resources inside Microsoft who are responsible for making Martello successful. That's a huge jump for us, and one that sort of can't be underestimated. So, you know, we're focused on that, and I think that's where I'm very confident on the 3.5 million users in the next couple of quarters.
Okay, I'll ask just one more question, and that's if you have any insight into the usage of customers. It seems like the world's still in a bit of a hybrid mode. Are you seeing elevated usage of Teams and other applications on the platform? Is that still the case into 2022 here?
Yeah, and I mean, that's such a good question. I mean, what we're seeing also is as people return to the office, they're realizing, you know, when you're in the office, you've got a much more complicated network environment, including the phone system. And your network, I mean, if you're, you know, I'm assuming, Christian, you're either in the office or at home. So when you go onto Teams, you know, at home, it's fairly simple. It goes onto the ISP, right, and it goes straight to your, you know, wherever you're going. The problem is when you use your cell phone and you're on Teams, you're actually on the actual traditional phone network, which is way more complicated because if you're on a Bell phone, suddenly you're trying to get onto the Rogers network simultaneously. The irony here is if we didn't have this deep expertise with Mitel, we wouldn't be able to see both sides, and that's an absolute unique capability for us. I know there's some, you know, a little bit of competition out there. Like I said, none that Microsoft is pulling through at the moment. But none of them have that capability to see both sides. And this is where, so for instance, this large enterprise customer I talked about, on day one when we actually installed Vantage in the trial, they saw the problem they had with Teams was nothing to do with their network. It was all to do with the phone system, the session, what they call a session border controller, which is the connection between the network and the phone system. And that's where the problem lay. And we were the first people to be able to indicate to them. And they'd spent weeks on that. And that's money. We solved it in one day, which is why we're fairly confident on the trial.
That's very helpful. Thanks for taking all my questions this morning.
Thanks, Christian.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Our next question comes from Daniel Rosenberg of Paradigm Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning, John and Kim. I had a question around your partnership channel sales program. So you mentioned introductions into 6 global system integrators and telcos. I was wondering if you could just speak to the sales cycle there. You know, how is it different from what you've done previously? What are the timelines like, the key milestones to achieve before we could start seeing some user growth from that channel and sales from that channel?
Yeah, I mean, Christian, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, we launched our sort of initial partner program in June, and we worked with some smaller partners. What we really didn't anticipate as we spun up Vantage was this increase from very large global telcos and system integrators. And we've really had to focus on that because, you know, as you can imagine, that's the rapid scale-up part. That's like adding 2 Mitels every quarter type process. So, you know, thanks to our growing alignment with Microsoft, we have become aligned on these global SIs. And, I mean, Microsoft pulled it into conversations that, you know, they wouldn't have with us. And I have, you know, have a couple of good examples of how, you know, even Canadian telcos, you know, were sluggish to respond to us. But when you walk through that virtual door with Microsoft, you know, at your hip, suddenly, you know, they're much more welcoming and are willing to have a conversation. So we're very, you know, much focused on that. We still got a couple of the smaller partners. We're still supporting those guys. They're still looking at opportunities. But getting some, you know, a global SI or telco who is looking to white label you into their, and it's called Operator Connect. There's a thing called Microsoft Operator Connect, which is not everybody, not every telco. So for instance, in Canada, you'll only see Rogers on there, for example. What that is how Microsoft connects into the phone system. Getting aligned into that and become the tool of choice for those providers or those partners of Microsoft in the Operator Connect world will be key. So we're focused on that. From a timeline perspective, yes, does it takes a little bit more time to do, you know, paperwork and spin those guys up. But ultimately, you know, that's significant scale that we can achieve with those guys.
Are there any specifics you could share with traction? I mean, introductions are great, but we'd love to, you know, better understand any traction you're seeing with any specific ones. I mean, it, you know, no need to say names, but...
I give you an example. I've got one global systems integrator. We're through legal terms. We're into commercials right now. So if I can get these, if we can get these commercials agreed to, we're off to the races this quarter. But certainly we're through the T's and C's, and we're into commercials. So that one's really exciting. And as I said, my push is, you know, getting it done this quarter. And ideally we'd have gone and sat in their office, you know, until they signed. But sadly, with COVID, they're not even in their own offices. So, we're doing as much as we can. But that one is really exciting, and T's and C's are done. We're just into commercials.
Thanks. And switching to the Mitel division, I just wanted to understand any, I don't know if there's seasonality impacts or one-time impacts within the quarter. It seemed like, year over year, it was a bit... we saw less growth within that division. Just how should we think about it, maybe annualized? And I know you had mentioned some FX impacts in the quarter. So just help me better understand what's going on with the growth cadence within Mitel.
Sure. I mean, again, you know, with the RingCentral piece, many things have changed. But I think the Mitel revenue stream has really been quite resilient. And I know that, you know, when we talked about this, you know, start of pandemic, you know, suddenly everybody's onto video conferencing. But we just had a large renewal from a large global car manufacturer. They're not getting rid of their desk phones. So particularly in sectors like healthcare, where telephony is being used alongside Teams, we can provide a complete picture. So I think, again, that resilient revenue stream is still there. It contributes 41% of our total revenues, very high gross margins. And we're working with Mitel on a couple of sort of analytics feature releases due in Q3, which we delivered in Q3. We do have a pipeline of MPA deals with them. The other thing that's interesting is, you know, the RingCentral deal at Mitel hasn't significantly impacted us. If anything, it's opened up more conversations with Mitel because they are more focused on the business line that we make revenue from, which is that on-premise. There's potential to see modest growth, but certainly I don't see Mitel's revenue going anywhere, in terms of huge change at the moment in the short term.
Thanks. And lastly for me, I just wanted to confirm, I heard you're reiterating the user targets for 3.5 million by the first half of fiscal year 23?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for taking my questions.
Okay. Thanks, Daniel.
Our next question comes from Kevin Krishnaratne of Desjardins. Please go ahead.
Hey, John and Kim. Good morning. I had a question for you, just to go back to the large user that dropped off. I think you mentioned they've gone to a trial on Vantage. When did that happen in the quarter? And sort of was it prompted by them coming up to renewal, or was it what really prompted it, and also how many seats is that user?
Yeah, so they were a Gizmo customer that was coming up for renewal, and they did renew, but for a lower headcount. And we had a bit of warning of that. We did the usual, what incentives can we give you to stay where you are, et cetera. And they basically said, no, we just don't see us needing that much of visibility into that number of users. And then we, you know, move them into the Vantage conversation, which is where they are now in trial. So it was, it was part of a sort of regular renewal cadence. It wasn't a, oh my God, issue. It was very much part of sort of that renewal cadence. But now they're in Vantage trial, and they're over 120,000 seats, all up. Obviously, they reduced it when they renewed Gizmo, which is what that that impact is. If they come back to full seats, they'll be, back over the 120,000 users.
Oh, sorry. So they were 120,000 users.
They were over 120,000.
Okay,
yeah.
Got you. So can you just maybe double click just into this customer? What would have, what was the rationale behind not thinking that they needed to have as many users covered? I'm just trying to understand the rationale, because I think from your perspective, you Martello's view is that Vantage or GSX is quite important for many users in an organization to have enabled, just given where we're going with remote and hybrid work. So was there something specific to this customer that they had definitely users are not going remote, they're just going to be in the office, or just trying to understand the behavior of that particular customer?
Sure. So because they were on Gizmo, being the slightly older product that we'd acquired from GSX, right, gave a very specific picture on Office 365, it didn't have the depth of Teams that Vantage does. They'd moved everybody to Teams, Office 365, for the majority of people in the company seem to be, okay. And you're justifying a spend to solve a operational productivity problem that not everybody in the company was observing. However, some were, and some were just, important people who couldn't afford any impact on Office 365. So those guys that's who they focused their Gizmo spend on. And like any company during a pandemic, if you're told to find ways to tighten your belt, on the IT spend, doesn't mean you get rid of Gizmo. You just focus it where it actually has to be, right? Where it's a aspirin, not just a vitamin. So they focus themselves down to reduce their own IT spend. And we see that with many companies, right? There's a pandemic. They see sort of some uncertainty and risk, so they're limiting their IT spend and they tighten their belts. However, with Vantage, because of what it does in Teams, and as I said, we found the problem they'd had with Teams across the company within 24 hours of getting the full trial up and running. Suddenly, everybody uses Teams. And one thing we can actually say, and this is going to be new, we'll be rolling this out this quarter, we have what we call an ROI template. So if you're in trial, we will send you a piece, and we can put the data from the trial into that template. And it's a dashboard, and it shows you the return on investment. In other words, we will see the number of outages you are having on a regular basis. We'll see that. And then based on some sort of Gartner and Forrester costings, we will give you a prediction of the cost of that impact to your company. And then we can show you that the cost of buying Vantage is smaller than the cost of the impacts that Vantage was sold. In other words, we can show an immediate return on investment on Teams and Office 365, which overall reduces the total cost of ownership. So, that'll be coming out. But that was sort of the step that we needed to show this enterprise customer was, we can improve the productivity of Teams across the whole organization. So much more than sort of, SharePoint and Anand, which is where they hadn't seen as much potential impact, but certainly they had seen impact on Teams.
Okay, understood. And again, just did this change happen towards the end of the quarter? I'm just kind of curious on the timing. Okay.
It was December. Yep.
December, yeah, because your revenue for monitoring was up. Subscription revenue was up quarter over quarter.
It was a classic end year renewal.
Yep. Okay. And so you said you had some sort of you sort of knew that this was a potential coming. Are there any other sort of customers up for renewals that you could see something similar happening in the next quarter or two?
At the moment, we're tracking fairly closely. We've already had some customers convert from Gizmo to Vantage, one without trial, right? They just said, no, we like the look of Vantage, right? We're going straight across. So that's really our focus at the moment is We've got folks on Gizmo. We're pushing the story of Vantage. We've now got, Microsoft Marketing on our webinars. We did a webinar before Christmas. We had over 900 registrants for a webinar. We've never had 900 people register for a Martello webinar, but that's because, Microsoft are on there talking about the value our product brings to the Office 365 and Teams environment. So, pushing those things to customers, trying to get, moving them from Gizmo into Vantage, and we have an absolute campaign to do that. So as renewals come forward, we're going to make sure that that's the focus, which is, you've had Gizmo for a year, 2 years. We want to move you into this brand new product called Vantage, and this is why. And I think that'll be the message going forward.
Gotcha. You've got 70,000 Vantage out of your current base. You've got a 2.84. You've got a target of 3.5 million by, over the next few quarters. Do you have a view on a goal for the number of Vantage within that mix?
No, not at this stage. And again, it's going to be on the uptake, right? It's I mentioned, we've got this, we're in commercials with a global systems integrator. That will make a difference all by itself, right? If I can get that done this quarter, Q1 will, be focused on bringing in clients, and Q2 will start pulling clients through those guys. So I think, again, there is so much opportunity in front of us with Microsoft. It's managing the opportunity in an efficient way. It's making sure that I keep, the costs managed in Martello while dealing with the scale of opportunity coming our way. We want to head towards, that proposition where if we can reduce the sales cycle, we can, speed up these pieces. We keep our costs down, but increase the overall user count and revenue coming in. And I think that's going to be an absolute focus going into the next quarters.
Okay. The last one for me, maybe just switching over to pricing. Can you on the product on Vantage and the monitoring product? Can you remind us how you think about pricing, maybe Vantage versus the monitoring, the existing Gizmo on a per user basis? That's sort of gotten the mid-teen cents range per month. And related to that, are you seeing anything in relation to some of the pricing increases that Microsoft has put in for sort of some of its new versions of its software?
Yeah, so I mean, Vantage is for a customer, it costs more than Gizmo. So yes, there is an upsell. I look at the customer we are dealing with at the moment, the enterprise customer. Right, we are discussing, the cost advantage with them and the upsell. So, it costs more. We're certainly aligned, right? There are three tiers of Vantage. The cheapest one, again, it varies. I mean, it's not a great deal per user, right? It's somewhere between 25 cents and 50 cents per user per month. And depending on discount and what we're going to do. So, we can roll that out one fairly quickly. There's not a huge impact on an IT spend, but it makes a difference to us. But when you start heading up to this sort of the enterprise variant and you brought up, Microsoft piece, we're aligning into Microsoft. And if I look at some of what we want to do, the more Teams users we are aligned with, the better, because as Microsoft prices shift, then we can go with them, right? And we will be that lockstep in Microsoft. As I said, we're on weekly calls with them now. We're talking to their marketing folks. We're in creating business plans with Microsoft to be, much more aligned into how they're focused. So again, all of this speaks that absolutely, as Microsoft adjusts their prices, we will adjust with them.
Excellent. Thanks very much, team. I'll pass the line.
Thanks, Kevin.
This concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to John Proctor for any closing remarks.
On behalf of all of us, thank you for your continued interest in Martello. As I mentioned earlier, you can register to receive our upcoming newsletter in the investor section of our website, and the recording of today's call will be available on our website later today. You can reach out to our investor relations anytime by emailing investor@martellotech.com, and I hope you've enjoyed both the update to what's going on at Martello. And if you have any questions, please do reach out. Thank you very much for your time.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.